Historic day yesterday as there was a joint press conference announcing the potential move of the Commanders back to the RFK site. Josh Harris was there. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was there. Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. She was also present. She will be a guest on The Junkies at 8 o'clock. So you want to continue to listen throughout the show today.
Mm-hmm. Josh Harris and this ownership group also, they've done a really good job throughout of bringing like the key alumni back.
Right.
So Daryl Green's by his side. Mm-hmm. They do a really good job kind of connecting.
Riggins was there.
Yes, Riggins was there.
Oh, even
connecting
Riggins.
With the
Joe Gibbs
the
was there.
Old school guys.
Yeah, I mean, surprised Riggins because he's so cantankerous at times.
And I think the Josh Harris era has just been different.
Yeah.
And I think Snyder tried, but just wasn't able to connect like this ownership group with the old
Riggins
school
is
players.
Surprising though because he was one of the guys that was out there pushing back against the name change and it seemed like he wanted to kind of distance himself.
He's a very unique guy.
But I guess like Josh Harris is an influential guy. So I guess when he reaches out and you know these guys that used to play for the team see the vision and the new like life that he's pumped into this franchise that was dead and dormant.
If that
for
was
so
Snyder
long.
Sitting up at the podium, I'm sure half of those guys probably wouldn't have posted.
Right.
For sure.
Well, I remember hearing a story from Charles Mann on this station. I don't remember if it was one with B. Mitch and Finley or with Grant Danny. And he said when the new ownership group took over, they invited him to come to Commander's Park in Ashburn. And he hadn't been in basically 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they took him on a tour of the facilities, and then he kind of met with everybody. And it was just a stark contrast to what it had been like for the previous basically quarter century.
It's a different world, man.
Yep.
It's a different world.
All right, so we have a bunch of audio.
It's a big deal yesterday.
From the press conference yesterday. We'll lead off with majority owner Josh Harris talking about hosting big events at the potential new Commander Stadium.
That was the Washington that I remembered. When on Sundays, everything stopped. Everyone was glued to their TV or in the stadium. And we've already seen a reawakening of that spirit, but we want to bring it back. Now we want to bring the Commanders home with a new RFK that our fans will love, our opponents will fear. It'll be loud. We want to make it about football, but also about the city and the community, and we want to host the biggest and best events in the world.
So Josh Harris suffering with the allergies that are taking out a lot
he's
of people
also
at this
got,
point.
I'm sorry, he's got party voice. He has notorious party voice.
He just kind of has a scratchy, raspy voice.
Yes.
I think it's just always like one of his things.
But he points
he's got
to
vocal fry.
Yeah, he's got
a vocal fry from his partying.
Yeah.
He points to an era, though, where he's absolutely right. Everything would stop on Sundays. Everybody watched it. Now, I don't know that you'll ever get
it's
that
still
back.
Good for me. It never stopped for me.
You'll never really get that back because now there are too many options, too many choices. Back then, you had four TV channels, maybe five.
Okay, I mean, that is true, but like on NFL Sunday, like once 1 p.m. hits, then there are a lot of other options in 2025 and beyond. But once 1 p.m. hits on a Sunday,
the world stops.
Like, well, in my house, it pretty much does.
Of course.
Well, just like think we're watching the Commanders if they're on at 1 or whenever they're on or
whatever other
when
big
the NFL
games
comes
on,
there are no other options.
Well, just think about the playoff run and how locked in everybody was. All your kids that maybe not even don't pay as much attention, they're locked in. Their friends are locked in. You know, all generations, your mom's kind of paying attention. Everyone's locked in.
It's different. Like, it's different between the suburbs and then the city. Like, if you go into Baltimore City on a Sunday on game day, like, it's everyone's wearing the same thing. It's empty. Like, it's empty because everyone's either going somewhere for the game or
looks
going
like the
to
last
the game.
Of us set. Like, it's just
like
nobody
no one's
there.
Out. No one's out really running errands.
Yeah.
People are walking in the street at 11 o'clock with a beer. Like, it's just, it's
but
different.
But D.C. is different, though, than Baltimore.
No, I'm just saying, like, the stadiums in Landover versus, like, in the city, too, it's, and everyone's kind of around it. I'm telling you, the vibe's different.
When it's in a city.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I have three kids in their 20s, and last year was the first year where basically every game, my kids were like,
locked in.
When are we watching the
right?
Yeah.
Where are we going to watch the Commanders game? Or like, yeah. I'm coming home from College Park and we're going to watch the Commanders.
Right.
Trust me, that never happened pre-Jaden Daniels.
That's what winning does.
And that's what a franchise quarterback does.
I wonder if your kids are the same way. Because I would have to say that by and large, my kids are, they're bandwagoners. So they love the locals, but they really only pay attention when they're hot. They're not paying attention in week two. Like,
oh, mine are paying attention. They're pretty much locked in.
Yeah, mine are more bandwagony. When they become hot, then they really get locked in. I don't know.
No, it definitely got ramped up once they made the playoffs and went on that run. But like, we were basically watching every game.
Yeah,
we were just.
But when you put
in
a new stadium, I mean, essentially, it's going to be the nicest stadium in the world because it's going to be $3.5 billion. It's going to be the newest one.
Mm-hmm.
So everything,
unless they botch it.
In theory, right.
No,
the newest stadiums are always the nicest
this
in the world.
Group is too
well,
good.
Maybe
too
not the nicest in the world, but the nicest in the
Josh
NFL.
Harris, this is not their first sports rodeo. Like,
yeah. They shouldn't botch it.
They've been through too many of these.
But I think it should be clear that as far as I understand, all these renderings and everything you see, they're not official renderings. Oh, they're just what people are putting out there.
This is just something to look at. You know, to appease people.
Yeah, they're
in 2025.
People are using old imaging.
Right.
You know, God only knows what they're putting into ChatGPT. Yeah. I don't think there are any official plans that have been released.
So the name of the stadium is going to be the Fields at RFK?
It's news to me.
Is that what they're going to be called?
Oh, I don't think there's been any sort of.
That's for the, I think.
I think they're talking about like athletic fields for
that's
kids.
The entire area?
Like,
oh, okay.
That's a separate.
But it's going to be called RFK, right?
I don't know if RFK is going to be weaved into the name. I don't know.
They kept saying
that. Yeah. Well, I think that's what people know it as. But yeah. Rick Snyder was tweeting last night that no way a sponsor attaches their name if they have to co-share it with the name RFK.
Hmm.
Because why the RFK name's
well,
bigger?
Well, they just don't want
North share.
West Stadium. At
they're paying $20 million
RFK
a year for stadium naming rights.
Well,
they
does
don't
Rick
want
buy into it happening yet or no?
So
Rick says it's looking real good, but he said again last night, this is not that different than Alexandria.
Right.
I just think that Alexandria had bigger hurdles, actually.
All right, let's move on to the second clip. This is Josh Harris talking about when he knew the deal was actually real and kind of getting down the tracks.
For all of you, when did this moment start to feel real, and what does it feel like right now?
Well, I'll start. I mean, obviously, this has been a vision of ours since we bought the team, bought the club. It was in our original plan. It's been a journey. It's been a process. I'd say, for me personally, it really started to get real in the last few weeks when the mayor, I think, shook me by and said, we got to get going, even though we were waiting around for some politics to occur. And but it got real then, and we're so happy to be in partnership with the city and the NFL announcing it today.
Hmm. All right. So they're an allusion to when they, all got together and he put this ownership group together, and I'm sure there were business plans tossed around. That was part of it, sounds like, from the beginning. We're going to get this back to the D.C., we're going to get back to the old site, and try to relive some of that glory.
They knew that FedEx Field was a disaster and that they were in their last few years there, so you have to have plans for what the next step is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go into this blindly thinking they're going to play it.
Yeah,
FedEx
but they could have thought they
years.
Could have been open to putting it anywhere. Doesn't sound like they were. I mean, they might have been open to it, but it doesn't sound like by any stretch of the imagination that was the number one goal. Sounds like the number one goal was to get them back to D.C.
Yeah,
that's
you see
how,
that
that's
by
what
the,
I interpret
by the level of financial commitment that the team is willing to undertake.
Right.
To get that done.
He said his first choice was always RFK.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he talked to Chick Hernandez about riding his bike to games when he was a kid.
The Commanders
got in his heart.
It's documented that they're going to put $2.7 billion in, but how much of that's coming from the league? Is that all coming from?
I don't think that was discussed.
That wasn't
specifically. I'm sure that they're going to get some sort of. I mean, we've talked to D. Smith about this over the years. Stadium credits from the league.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would amount to. They would take.
So
I'm sure they would take whatever they could get. If the NFL wants to hand them $200 million or $250 million, I'm just pulling numbers out of nowhere, but I'm sure they would take it to add to that. You know, paying that big fat bill. That's right. A big nut.
NFL is contributing $200 million towards the new Bill Stadium.
Okay, $200 million. That's all right, so maybe that helps. Set. All right. Speaking of that, let's hear from Roger Goodell. He talks about how the RFK site could compare to some other new stadium sites in the NFL.
David, I think you asked about analogous to other stadiums. I think Atlanta is a very interesting analogy. Also, I think Los Angeles clearly is. I think Detroit is. I think there are many cities where they have seen the value of the reinvestment into that community. A stadium being surrounded by a development such as this that I think is very powerful, and they've all been successful, both in, I think, the community's mind, most importantly, but also in our mind. But I also think they've been successful from an economic standpoint.
Hmm. Yeah, Atlanta's interesting because it really was the first time that I was around the city a lot, just a month or so ago. And, you know, that stadium is right next to Centennial Park, mm-hmm. which is obviously there from all the Olympic stuff
yep.
that they did. But it really is a cool city, and they really do have a lot of things to offer. There are a variety of, there's several arenas right around there. There's like an aquarium that everybody's into that I wasn't.
Mm. Yeah, if you do it right, you plan it right.
Yeah, there's like a college football Hall of Fame.
It's an
there.
Amazing draw because I was in Atlanta a couple of years ago. I was near Turner Field.
Yeah,
not sure if that's still the name of it, but where the Braves play. And
they're a little out though, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're quite down in the city, but
yeah,
the development around there was awesome. Like all of the retail and the restaurants and the shopping and the yeah. mixed use with the apartments on top of the retail. Like you could tell, like it wasn't just like, okay, let's build the stadium and hope we can fill in the blanks around it. Like there was a plan mm-hmm. as to what to do with all the space. And it sounds like they have, you know, a similar plan here for
well, what
RFK.
I found interesting is in this, they must have passed this out or whatever. Is that what this is? They passed this out yesterday at the press conference about the new homes that are going to be created.
Yeah. Ton of them.
I didn't understand that at the time. There'll be 5,000 to 6,000 new homes. Including when they say 1,500 to 1,800 affordable homes. I don't know. I guess that means low apartments. Income housing. Is that what that means? I don't know what that means.
It means, probably means big apartment complexes.
Yeah, but those things they charge a ton for. Well, how affordable
They'll make them affordable.
And then
they're not going to be 6,000 single families.
They talk about all the jobs that will be created, the permanent full-time, the amount of part-time jobs.
They're trying to sell it. Look, the what I saw yesterday is you need 7 votes from the mm-hmm. council.
Yep,
and maybe they've got 4 right now, so they got to sway 3 people.
They need to get them on their side. Need those 7 votes.
Hmm.
So somebody will give somebody a handshake. They'll figure it out. $89 million sportsplex facility for DC's youth will be delivered. So that sounds like, you know, they got a nice thing over there by FedEx. So it sounds like this will be that on steroids, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
An $89 million sportsplex facility is no joke.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to pour into like a sports complex for kids. That's, you could do a lot with $90 million.
Right.
That's a lot of fields and a lot of space-age technology in your building.
I honestly don't know. I know we had guys calling in yesterday, and one guy in particular, and he was passionate, and I'm not disregarding his opinion, but I just don't see a real downside to this. You know, I just don't see it. Just revitalizing that whole area, which I'm sorry, if you live there and you love it, then I'm happy for you. But man, you drive by it, it's an eyesore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to look at that crumbling stadium every day. It's just looms over your entire neighborhood.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are real reasons that people oppose it. But from afar, as an observer from afar, it seems like a home run to me.
All right, let's hear from Mayor Bowser, who's going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. This is her talking about the D.C. budget crisis and how the new development could help solve it.
You know what our job is right now? Our job is to replace economic activity for 40,000 people. If we don't make some change, they may not have their jobs. If we don't make some change, they may not live here. So our job is to advance a budget that is bold and that invests in growth. And I'm going to be talking a lot more about all of that growth agenda. But it starts with a catalytic investment at RFK. We cannot leave. If you need to add revenue, as we do, you can't leave 180 acres vacant. If you need to add jobs, as we do, you cannot wait for an anchor to show up to start developing there. When you need to attract business, you have to be about business.
I mean, she makes a good point about 180 acres just lying dormant. Yeah. Like, D.C.
You gotta have something there.
D.C. is not that big. Like, a 180 acre chunk of land is like, for it not to be producing any sort of revenue.
Right.
That hurts your city. Like, you need to turn that into something.
But even
that
without
is,
a stadium, you should
down to that area.
Even without a stadium, you should be able to put something there. You should be able to put new homes, you know, condos, whatever, a downtown, you know, retail area with bars and restaurants. So even if Harris didn't pick this site, it seems like something should have gone there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had plans for it, but something should have been there.
Nobody wanted to invest in that area.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty simple.
Well, Josh Harris and his group certainly want to. So it's a matter of whether they can get the city council votes to make it official. Here's Josh Harris talking about how this is actually a good deal for D.C. and the people of D.C.
I think that this is an incredible ROI for the city of D.C., the local community around the stadium. The mayor has done an amazing job at negotiating on behalf of the city, but also becoming a partner with us in an investment that is going to create like billions of tax revenue, thousands of jobs, a whole new community, and tie together the city. I look forward to continuing my engagement and intensifying my engagement with the council, both Ward 7, but also the broader D.C. Communities and the people that are representing the broader D.C. community, and being super transparent, giving them the details they need. And I think the project speaks for itself. And I think the project will stand, and I believe will convince the council this is in the best interest of D.C. A
couple other things we should mention. Harris did say that they were going to try to make tickets affordable, but there will be PSLs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he said, in the context of PSLs, they're going to try and make things affordable.
Mm-hmm.
They will have a tailgating area.
All right.
There's only going to be 8,000 parking spaces.
Okay.
I don't know how many there are at FedEx.
There's a lot more.
Seems
than
to
that.
Be a lot more 22,000. Than 8,000.
Yeah. So, but a third of them.
Right.
So imagine how much parking.
How much
be.
They're going to be. Right.
It's going to be a premium.
But yeah. If you want to be there and tailgate, just like you did it at FedEx or at Northwest, then you're going to pay for that spot.
Yep.
Or multiple spots.
Yep. Just going to have to pony
up. If tailgating is your thing, tailgate Ted, you're going to pay for those spots.
All right, when we come back, we will get the counterpoint to Josh Harris and company's point. We're going to hear from City Council Chairman Phil Mendelson. He's going to be the major opposition.
This is the guy, this is the stick in the mud guy?
To the stadium. Apparently, he was on with Grant and Danny yesterday. We'll hear some audio from that when we come back.